There's more going on than you know. There are unseen universal forces at work. The law of attraction is just one universal law that plays a part in shaping your reality. But there's so much more to know. If you knew how to engage all the universal forces, you could deliberately create the life of your dreams. Joshua, a group of non-physical teachers, explains the laws of the universe and how the mechanisms of physical reality actually work. They are channeled by Gary Temple Bodley, and each week, Gary and a group of students discuss how they are affecting and enhancing their lives every single day. This is the expansion of the Law of Attraction. This is the Teachings of Joshua Roundtable. We're thrilled you're here.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to a special edition of the Teachings of Joshua Roundtable. I'm your host, Gary Temple Bodley. We're here at the Joshua Life Cruise. This is the last day of the cruise. We've just come off the third Joshua Live session, and we are recording in my spacious suite here at the resort, the Club Med Resort in San Juan Lucas.
VIP.
No. Port St. Lucie. Cabo San Lucas, right? Yeah. Okay, that's where it'll be next time. So I'm here, as always, with Wendy Pierce. Hi, Wendy.
Hey, Gary. How are you?
And I'm also here with Nicki Minaj. Hi, Nicki.
Hello, Gary.
Darling Nicki.
And I'm here with Isabel Zimmerman. Hi, Isabel.
Hey, Gary.
And I'm here with Mark Shahada. Shahade. Shahada. We're here with Remarkable Marky.
Hello there.
And there are guests in the audience who will present themselves at a later time, if they so wish. So we're doing this in front of a live audience for the first time.
We are, huh? Yeah.
And normally there's just the four of us.
Yeah.
But now there's us and our millions with us, too.
Yeah.
So the week started with Wendy and Kyla coming in on Thursday into West Palm Beach, staying at my house. I picked them up at the airport. And then we had to go get Mark, who conveniently flew into Fort Lauderdale an hour away at 9:30 at night. So we thought, wouldn't it be fun if we went to dinner in Fort Lauderdale on the way to pick up Mark? And so I had this idea that we would go to this restaurant. What I thought was, let's research the hottest new restaurants in Fort Lauderdale, and we'll pick one. And I found this one called Hot and Soul, and the reviews were great, and it seemed cool, and it seemed like a great menu and all that. And so I made a plan, and the plan was to go and eat at this restaurant and then go pick up Mark. So interestingly enough, on the way to the restaurant, Lily is using her GPS and is talking to me. I'm like, I know where I'm going. I grew up in Fort Lauderdale. I know everything about Fort Lauderdale. Just tell me if it's north or south when we get to Federal Highway. And she's going, I don't know. And we're having this big conflict, we'll say. And so we end up going past the restaurant, and we had to turn around. I missed it. And as we turn around, we see this other place called Luncheonetta.
Kitchenetta.
And so we see, oh, that's a cool place, but we're going to our Hot and Soul place. So we find out where it is, and we go in there. And although it was a Thursday night, there was not one other person there. Ooh. And that's always a sign to us, right? Yeah. And that AC wasn't working, and they had this portable AC, and the smell was smelly. Floors were sticky, and we're like, we're out of here. And so then we go, well, let's just go to Kitchenetta. And that place was fabulous. We had a great dinner. It was so much fun. So it just shows you, don't plan stuff. Just go. And then when things don't seem to work out, don't resist it, because we were guided to this place that turned out to be perfect. And had I not had the inspiration to go to the Hot and Soul place, we would never have found Kitchenetta.
Nope.
So it was perfect.
And that's interesting, because you bring up a fear I had coming into this trip, because part of the last trip that I enjoyed so much is our lack of planning.
Yeah.
We would just get in the car, and wherever the guy took us, that's where we went. And wherever we found lunch, that's where we ate. And I loved that. And I thought, we're going to be landlocked here. We're not going to go too many places. And then what do I get presented as soon as I get here? Gary and his lack of planning and flexibility, and we're just going all over. It's like, we're good.
Yeah, so it worked out really great. And then we pegged up Mark at the perfect time. It was awesome.
It was awesome.
Yeah.
I got great hugs from you guys. That was the best welcoming ever. You guys jumped out of the car and you all gave me a hug because I've been waiting and missing you guys.
Yes.
That was the best welcome ever. Yeah.
So then we come here in the morning and we get together. The first thing we did, we're like, there's 21 of us, and we're like, we knew each other forever because of the friends of the Facebook group. So what was the first thing we did? Oh, we just had
meet and greet.
No, what did we do? We were all together somewhere. Was it
we didn't get our rooms.
We got a drink.
So we didn't get our rooms, but so we went and got drinks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Maybe we're just
nobody remembers. Lunch.
Yeah,
We did lunch.
Did we do a Julie Ryan too?
And we did a Julie Ryan.
So Julie Ryan was here, and we did a Julie Ryan, and then we had the meet and greet later on. Yeah. But by that time, the meet and greet,
everyone knew everyone
so well. Yeah.
So just so everyone knows, there are no strangers on these trips.
I mean,
don't ever feel fear that you're not going to fit in or know somebody or be appreciated because it just all happens instantaneously. Yeah.
Perfectly. Yeah. So this group of 21 people was amazing.
Yeah, amazing.
Yeah. Couldn't have been better. Yeah. So it was, and it was a great place to be here. And the weather the first day was rainy.
Yeah.
And then it just got beautiful after that.
Well, it rained. No, this was it the first
second
day?
Day
no,
right?
The second day it came down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it was no problem.
Friday.
Like
no.
we just.
No, it kind of worked out better because I was thinking I have to get sun. And since there wasn't any sun, I could be totally present in all the different things we were doing.
Yeah.
Yeah. It did work out perfect.
It was okay.
Because I was worried about that. I looked at the weather, and the weather said one clear day, rain. It's like, I didn't think about it too much, but it was perfect.
I never even looked.
You didn't look?
You know why?
Because
I knew it was going to be perfect.
Yeah. No. I believe that.
That's because you're perfect.
Yeah.
Yes.
You're perfect.
Thank you.
Did you find that out this weekend?
Yes.
It turns out that the 21 people who were here just happened to be all perfect.
Yeah.
So are we closing it? We're never allowing any other people.
Well, how are we going to get another
one?
Are there going to be more? Are there more perfect people, or is this just it?
That's it. I think we should close it. Because then we don't want to ruin a good day.
Hold on. I'm receiving some insight here, and I think that if you're listening to this podcast, you just might be perfect.
Yeah.
But charge a little bit more. You have to pay a couple $100 more.
Right.
Part of the, yeah.
Well, to realize you're perfect. You're perfect anyway. But the more money you pay, the easier it is for you to realize you're perfect.
We'll talk. Yeah. We'll iron out the details on that.
Yep.
Yeah.
All right. So the first thing we did was we went to have lunch. And then we went to a Julie Ryan, which was fun.
Yeah.
Then we went to the meet and greet, which was fun. And then we went to dinner, which was fun.
Yeah.
And then...
Which was more fun.
Yeah. More fun.
Yeah, it was even more fun. And then what did we do Friday night?
You went to bed at like 8:30, but we all had fun.
Well, I have to work, okay?
Yeah.
Kyla Hinton is here.
Oh,
hi. Say hi.
Hello.
So that was a bit of a blur.
We need the Joshua trip without Joshua so Gary can come out.
Yeah, or we just need someone to follow us around with cameras.
Our egos might get involved.
Yeah, maybe.
We just need to make Joshua documentaries.
Yeah.
So we can remember what happened. All right.
That's the comment.
So then we had, I slept well. You guys probably partied on Friday night.
I hardly slept.
Yeah.
And I didn't even notice it.
Did you dance Friday, Nikki?
I danced every single night.
Every night.
Like, I danced, you know, at the pool, at the disco, and in between. In a corridor, Mark and I danced to Darling Nikki.
A few times.
Yeah.
A couple of times,
And then I understand there was a infraction, a violation of the rules.
Yes, we were naughty.
There was a security guards had been called in.
Yeah, a couple of times.
Because
I wonder who the culprit was.
There were several people in the Joshua group who were believing there was no wrong. So they hopped the fence of the pool when it was closed, and then got caught by security. And
I tried to tell them, let's not break any rules.
Right.
You half broke the rules because you refused to swim, but you did climb over the gate.
Yeah, just to make sure you guys, other than that, were like not breaking any more rules.
Right.
You were there for medical assistance if we needed it.
And if you hurt yourself, medical assistance.
Right.
I bought Band-Aids.
And
Band-Aids.
Yeah. we go. Okay, so the next day, I had to prepare for the first ever Joshua Live presentation in front of a group on land. So I had always thought that it was international waters that allowed me to do it in front of a group. At sea,
yeah.
But I was unsure that it would work on land. But it turned out pretty good.
It turned out very good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Does anyone remember a thing that was said in that first one?
No.
It was.
So if you're listening to this, look for the Joshua Live Land Cruise version one or episode one. There's three of them because there was 3 days. And the first one started off with a bang.
I do remember a little bit.
Yeah.
You said something about, I believe in you.
Oh,
that was
like
the end of the second one. So
no.
good job.
Good job. Right?
I don't know. I wasn't there.
I have no idea.
I believe in you. It was a really nice way to open it up.
Kylie, do you remember how it opened?
Oh, Lord. No, I tried taking pictures. I found like I could either take pictures or I could tune in.
Yeah.
Maybe, you know?
Yeah.
So.
I think it was about the amount of people that are here was the perfect amount. Everything was brand new, never experienced before on the face of the earth.
That's exactly right. So they started off saying that the group that gathered in this room at this time was absolute perfection.
Yes.
That all of you had to have been there, that you could not have missed it. That all the inspiration to come and the planning and the travel arrangements and the time off from work and the things that you'd sacrificed to be here was all led you to this perfect moment.
Yeah.
And in that moment, it was absolutely perfect. However, had you not been here, that moment would have been perfect as well. And the idea is that you tend to think about these highlight moments as things that are special. And then you can allow yourself to feel good and confident and, you know, loving in those moments. But it's not just those moments, but you could do it in any moment, you know? So
that reminds me, I mean, that ties back in to the last cruise when we were doing the practice one-on-one, and Joshua told me, I said, I feel like something big is going to happen on this cruise or after this cruise. And what they said is, I mean, that may be true because you're expecting something big to happen, but what's the difference between the big things and the small things?
Yeah.
The same idea, but the only thing that makes what I see as a big event, something super exciting, is just my perspective that that's more exciting than finding a penny on the ground.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that every experience... Oops.
The whole time it's been off.
It's making waves, so what you were just saying about, you know, beliefs in big things and small things on the last job, on the last cruise, in the practice one-on-one, Joshua told me, I said, I felt like something big was going to happen on the cruise or right after. And Joshua explained that the only difference between the big, exciting things and the small things is my perspective on them. So something big did happen because I was expecting something big to happen. But what I've realized since then is it's the same thing that I've been doing all the time. But it was just this big dramatic moment because that's how I do things. But it showed me since then that I can get just as excited about the quote unquote big things as finding a penny on the ground.
Right. Right. So every experience is expansive. And we tend to think that the big moments in our life are those times of what's really happening. But it's actually every experience. So it doesn't really matter what it is. And every experience is for us and perfect and all that and leading us down this path. And that we're expanded by every experience. But the big experiences are fun, though.
Yeah.
But that's really good to know and to remember, because we do these things about when I get there, I'll be happy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So we limit ourselves. When I do this, when I make this certain amount of money, when I'm successful, making a lot of money, tapping or whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
But that's a very important thing to remember. Just have fun during
the
journey.
Mm.
Yeah.
Well, a lot. Drew is here, I think it was Linda who asked, you know, wouldn't this be great if we could give this to children
so
that they could have this advantage of what we know? But really what's happening is that the experiences that we had in our life led us to be here now.
Yes.
Right? And we wouldn't want to change those experiences, because had we not had those experiences that may have seemed difficult at the time and to us, you know, traumatic maybe even, we would not have been birthed with the desire to find out more, mm-hmm. and then to find Joshua and to join us this, you know, global phenomenon that it's become.
What I found interesting about that question, I mean, the idea, because I've had that same desire in terms of expressing it to younger people, but what I just realized is that I learn it from younger people.
Yeah, me too.
Like, my kids are teaching this to me. The 20 or 16-year-olds that I'm meeting out and about, they're teaching it to me because it's their natural way of being.
Exactly. Yeah.
They may not have the terminology. They may not, like, know that it's a process that can work. But just like we got here, they'll get there.
You know what was interesting about that idea that just struck me now is that the process of the parents reading it to the children really is for the parents.
Right.
You know?
It's the same with giving advice.
Yeah.
It's like when I'm giving advice, I'm looking at somebody who has their own set of experiences that they're bringing and perceiving a problem, and then I'm giving them the advice to the part of me that I see in them with all of my own cultural experiences.
Yeah.
So anytime I'm saying you this, you that, you that, mm-hmm. I've realized I'm talking to me, and so I've stopped. I'm intending to give less advice to other people and just skip the third party and just give it straight to me.
Yeah. But, you know, we've learned that the children are vibrationally aligned with the earth now, mm-hmm. that they're more ready for what's happening right now. Mm-hmm. But it would be a good reminder for the parents, you know. So that would be, that's more exciting to me, is to write something that parents would read to children, not for the children who already know it, but for the parents, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I was just thinking of Eric's question.
I know, Eric's question was, like, perfect.
Eric's question is perfect on this, is that the fact that, and Joshua taught me this because I had to find myself as the chief problem solver because I was really good at solving problems or finding solutions. But Joshua was like, no, Isabel, there is nothing to fix. And that was like, you know, like I understood that theory. I'm like, okay, because everyone's perfect, so there's really nothing to fix. But I'm like, why do we heal? Why do we fix things? And so Eric was also pondering that, and it was because it's beneficial for the person. Like, if you're in a state of love, you're flowing source, and so you're flowing love to that person, and it's really benefiting you, not necessarily the person,
right.
Because the person is their own creator of the reality. Now, that person may choose to believe that what you do is healing them, and then that's a benefit to them because that's their own belief, their own universe.
Yeah.
But really, so whatever you do, whether it's Reiki or a massage or writing or expressing your knowledge or giving love or giving hugs, whatever it is, it's an expression of your unique self. But it's a benefit for you.
Mm-hmm.
And then once if you can remain in that aligned state of a being of love, of source, then it benefits the consciousness.
Nicely said.
Very well said.
Yeah.
Very
well said. Going down in history.
So it's like how Joshua is with all of you.
Mm-hmm.
It's like they're doing it really as a benefit to them.
Yes.
Because when you ask questions, they get to go to these places to receive.
And they said that today.
Become a vibrational match to ideas that have never been thought before.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And then bring it forth through me to you.
Oh,
you know, so without your questions or without your desires, Josh would not be here, for one,
right.
And would not be able to reach these ideas.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the same thing with, so if Joshua ever saw any of you as less than perfect, you know, it wouldn't be of any benefit.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
And they don't care whether you get help or not,
right.
You know, whether you get better.
Yeah.
In fact, they say you can't get better. You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
You can just expand.
And I think that it ties. So, you know, it's like a part of the piece of the puzzle. So like their first book, they say nothing is wrong. Right. So that if there's nothing's wrong, there's nothing to fix.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Right. But we take nothing is wrong, meaning the bad things that happen to people, the disasters in the world. And we think of like, you know, murders or atrocities or children getting maimed or whatever that is. That's where we first go. But it's really fixing,
yeah,
right? Because the next thing, like if you believe it's wrong, then you want to fix,
right?
And you want to fix to feel better about
that.
Right.
I was just thinking that. So it's a reminder that to remind ourselves we're the center of the universe.
We're the center.
And everyone else is too. And right. to not try to control outside circumstances and just focus on
right. And
ourselves.
We're trained at a very
Point
young
everything
age.
This way.
Yeah. We're
yeah.
trained. That's a good girl.
Oh, yeah.
That's a bad boy. That's a no-no.
And when
That's
my dad
yes.
was saying, you know, you're being a good girl if you do that, that mixed me up, too.
It makes you happy.
Because
yeah,
she kept calling me a girl.
Yeah.
Yeah. That really threw me for a loop.
But and on that, though, we can't fix them ever. All we
no.
can do is offer them a new perspective.
Yes.
In
yes.
the process, right?
Yes.
Regardless
and,
of what.
And in
right, because you're flowing source.
Flowing source.
You're
and
flowing source.
Flowing a different perspective that they may be able to then
right.
change their perspective
right.
slightly.
And I think.
Or not.
This,
or not.
That's okay.
Well, yeah, you can't be attached to the
no.
outcome, right?
No.
Right.
No attachment to the outcome.
Yeah.
So living in the moment, I've asked this question many, many times, and you know me now on this gathering, right? I need to know the why.
Right.
Why?
Right.
Why?
Right.
Why?
Right?
right. So being in the moment, and I finally got the aha about that, is if you study quantum physics, which most of you do not, so it's okay, guys.
It's
but,
okay. Thank you.
So the scientists have observed that a particle, when you observe the particle, appears, right?
Right.
And whatever, I'm not going to go into the science of it, but there's many possibilities. Just know that the math proves that there's many possibilities. That's all you need to know about the whole quantum physics thing. So living in the moment, and this is because I, you know, source came to me to explain this and I went, oh, finally. All right. So living in the moment, when you're in the moment and you're in a aligned state, right? And some of you are coming to like moving from fear to love and you are beginning to feel that alignment, right? And you know it feels different because you feel really good, right? It feels different than where you were before. So you're feeling good, you're in alignment, you're like, okay. When you're in the moment, if you think about the past, I've just limited that moment.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
Mm. Okay. I unconsciously, not meaning to, when I think of a past moment, I've limited that moment. When I think of the future, I have limited that moment.
Yeah.
If you're worrying.
Right?
You're worrying. Yeah.
Yeah. Or even a positive outcome.
Right.
Any outcome. If
yeah.
I think
I
of the
that.
Future moment, I have just limited by accident.
Right.
Not on purpose.
Yeah.
Right? Because I'm feeling like good and I'm thinking, all right, I'm in the moment. Mm-hmm. And then I think of like, oh, this is what I want to do next. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Even as something innocent as that, I have limited that moment because all possibilities exist at that moment. That is the math.
Right.
And source said, when I'm in the moment, that's when the magic happens.
I saw that play out this week, you know, in terms of me just bouncing around and feeling free. And just, it wasn't when I get in the flow state. It's not, because when I heard you say, you know, you don't think of what's next, I'm like, well, then how do you know? And obviously inspiration, but what that feels like for me, how it presents, like, you guys probably saw me walking by and everybody's like, where are you going? I'm like, I don't know. Like, I just have to go.
Just away
you
from
know?
You.
Well,
yeah.
No. It's not. I understand how it can feel.
No,
that way.
No.
I'm just, when I'm going, I mean, just in general, but if somebody wants to engage and I'm just yelping, and
yeah.
I'm just like, I did it to Eric where I was on, where like I... was just headed to my next thing and
yeah.
they wanted to engage. And I was just like, I'm going, you know? So it's just the feeling where I liked what you were highlighting because it showed me that, like, I'm not thinking about it. I'm
right.
just
being.
Feeling it and
you're
just
being.
Going.
You're
going
just
with
being.
It.
All right, so that's a super interesting concept is that you have an inspiration and you receive a thought,
mm-hmm.
and now that thought is limiting.
Mm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
However, if you received it, it's the best idea for you at the time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
So, on one hand, you can say, okay, well, it limits me to the next thing I can do. But on the other hand, you say, of all the intelligence in the universe that comes through, knowing who I am,
mm-hmm.
it's presenting this next idea, knowing that it falls in with my set of beliefs,
mm-hmm.
knowing that it falls in with my set of fears.
Yes.
This is the thing that I can do of
right.
all the possibilities.
Sure.
Because if it said, okay, now you apply to be an astronaut,
mm-hmm.
like, oh, one, they'll never take me, blah, 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 you know,
mm-hmm.
they'll have to do within the parameters of my belief system.
Right.
Right.
Interesting.
And it brings up Tracy's question, and you guys will hear it on the one on the podcast. Thank you. It's the episode 3. So Tracy asked about inspiration in a roundabout way too, and she's a massage therapist. And she said, well, what if I get an inspiration in the middle of a massage, right?
To leave.
Jump in the pool or something.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's what they said. They probably wouldn't send you that inspiration because that's not aligned to how you view yourself as, you know, when you're in the zone, giving a massage. So you probably wouldn't get that.
Right.
And if you did, it was probably the person wanting you to stop.
I've experienced some massage from Tracy, and there are times of intense pain involved.
But how about this thought? If she got that thought to go jump in a pool or whatever, it could be an urge where she then was out of alignment.
Yes.
And she could just use that thought not only as, oh, is that inspiration, but maybe check in how you're feeling. If you're not feeling so good, you're out of alignment, you got an urge, bring yourself back into alignment.
Yes,
right.
You always have to just a quick pause, a quick second, where am I?
So many people confuse urges with inspiration. I had the urge to, or the inspiration to leave this, you know, environment, right? I was inspired to quit my job.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
No. You're never inspired to quit your job. You're inspired to, you know, think differently about your job. And then as a result of that, you get poached by another company or something or whatever.
Mm-hmm. What I've seen is in the way that, like, I mean, back to the idea that there is no wrong. So say you get the urge, say you do that. And, like, I am a person who has had urges, you know?
Yeah.
And, but to me, like, because there is no wrong, we're benefiting no matter what.
Right.
We're following the urge, following the inspiration. And for me, an urge like that, maybe not in a situation where you're, but, like, an urge like that, where I see the feelings, it's easier for me sometimes to process them on my own.
Yeah.
You know, like, to take the space. So if you're in a job and it's just so miserable, it is changing the conditions and you leave, but that can then open, if that's the choice that you take, then that opens up the space to, like, process the stuff.
Well, it's interesting, too, because now, from that experience, you've expanded to not having a job, and now you can think of it two ways. This frees me up to do what I want, or this makes me a bad person. My resume is going to look bad. What am I going to do? I'm in lack. You know, you still have the opportunity to think of it in an empowering way. Cool. What was another question? Does anyone remember anything that they asked?
I like Julie's question about energy.
And being and not wanting to sit still and wanting to get up and go.
So
that was helpful for me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Joshua saw a lot of Julie in Kyla. A lot of Kyla in Julie.
So did we all.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Except Julie didn't see it. You know, that's how it is. You know, you just don't see it sometimes.
Yeah.
But Julie is very energetic. It's hard for her to sit still. And she asked Joshua, why can't I sit still? And Joshua was like, because you chose the path with this perfect body that you have. Correct me if I'm making a mistake here.
No,
but that it enables you to do and explore reality as you intended to do it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And with a body like Gary's, for instance, you could not do the stuff that you love to do.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And I don't know if I'll speak for myself, but I was expecting something different. That's how Joshua can surprise you, because I was expecting it to be, you have to learn how to relax and be in the moment and not think about where you want to be and appreciate where you are now, because I was expecting him to have a teaching moment like that, but he totally gave her permission and gave me permission and everyone else. If you
not only
go,
permission, it was you intended that body.
Yeah.
And the life you're living could not be lived with another body.
Yeah.
And another time when we were at the bar, she was saying that she wished she had long legs like Isabel.
Uh-huh.
And but had she been an inch taller, her life would be totally different.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's right.
So everyone has the body they brought with them, and they're either resisting the body or allowing the body to be as it is. Mm-hmm. And the body will be what it is, designed to give you the experience of life that you intended to have.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Yeah.
Good stuff.
So cool.
Very cool.
All right, let's keep this conversation flowing.
Looking around the room and everybody, like, does everybody just looks
complete
beautiful? Yeah. Like, perfect. Yeah. You know, everybody's got these big smiles on their face. It's a light, airy room, but I feel like It's yeah. us.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I just had a comment. It just got to me. It's like, you know how Joshua Wright speaks about rational fear and rational fears, right? So I have a question. Is there such a thing as irrational love?
Ooh.
Is love rational? Ooh. Or is it irrational? Or is it the way it's supposed to be? Is there a contrast there?
You're bringing this question up at the totally wrong time.
Okay, next up.
I'm sorry, what was that? There is no wrong.
Just
do the wrong people.
That's what is love
irrational love? Can love be irrational? I don't know.
I think it could only be irrational if it was wrapped in a little bit of fear.
Oh, that's like the reverse.
Controlling thing. I love you, so you should do this for me.
Yeah, that's that's conditional love.
That's
so maybe conditional love is irrational love.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good question.
Yeah.
That was Juan, by the way.
Let's look at that.
Yeah,
Juan.
He's one in a million.
Maybe two.
Yeah.
But Juan, what do you think the word irrational means?
Yeah.
Well, what I think it means, I mean, I do agree with what Joshua says, right? Is it something that you can die? You know, is it something that's
false? It means false, right?
Yeah.
So false love.
Ah, very clever.
False love. What's false love? Is that means it's not real love,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So can there ever be false love? Sure.
Yeah.
Sure. There's a lot of people I've seen who love falsely,
yeah.
right? But is that the true language of love? No, because false love is the opposite of the spectrum, which it's all love, by the way.
Yeah.
I think all fear
yeah.
and love. But
yeah.
that's a different conversation.
Yeah.
But let's just go with false love, irrational love. So, yes, there could be irrational love. But I think what you're trying to ask is that true love? But when you say irrational, if you're using your vocabulary, irrational and rational, rational means truism, right?
Yeah. So you could say that the pure positive love would be unconditional love.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what everyone is striving for,
yeah,
whether
right.
they know it or not.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And that the irrational love would be the conditional aspects of love,
mm-hmm.
which everyone does, whether they know
yes.
it or not.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And Josh was talking about that we're all trying to receive love from others, so we're behaving in ways and doing things that
mm-hmm.
are inauthentic in order to create this feeling in ourselves that they love us.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
Instead of doing what we're inspired to do and then still creating this feeling in ourselves that they love us.
Right.
Either way. Because we don't know what they think. It doesn't matter what they think.
Mm-hmm.
So you might as well just be who you are and then think whatever you want to think.
Yeah.
And we
in
all do a little
way.
Bit of that, right? There's all a little bit of a control or in our behavior. It's
yes.
never going to be purely one thing or another.
Yes.
Yeah.
There's degrees of...
I mean, in every intonation of your voice, there's
right.
some control
yeah.
in there,
yeah.
you know.
Yeah.
But we're so programmed for that.
Yes.
And
yeah.
now we're trying to deprogram ourselves to an extent.
Yeah.
And I think in doing so, what we try and is not react to something we think is inappropriate or wrong.
Yeah.
And realize that it's just our own fear.
Right.
And so as we choose our reactions, then we choose our future.
Mm.
You know,
yeah. yeah.
So if we react in fear, we choose a future based in fear. And if we
yeah.
react calmly
mm-hmm.
and just let it go, we choose a more easy future
yeah.
with less
mm.
of that.
Right.
Mm.
Because all that is a reaction to what we perceive as wrong.
And that's
mm-hmm.
comforting when you say just allowing calming versus you don't have to try to make it right in your mind or
yeah.
make it good or just allow it and calm. It is what it is. Okay.
Yeah.
Let it go.
You know, let it go.
Yeah.
And then ask, how is this for me?
Yeah.
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 Why?
This is going to change this to this. You know?
Oh, yeah. I know. Oh, I thought about that. Yeah.
Oh, my God. Yes.
Yes.
yeah.
Yeah. So Mark when you hear something that's interesting or that you want to remember, do you tap to keep it in? Or is it...
Oh, do I tap the positive?
Like when you just
no.
did that,
Mark just
tapped himself as he said something.
Oh, no, I was using an example, but no, when I usually
mm.
tap in the moment, it's not, if I'm bothered or if it's something that's... If I have fear or whatnot, I'll just tap and let it,
yeah.
let it go in the moment.
Ah, interesting.
Yeah.
That's cool. Yeah. So someone was talking about raising the intensity of beneficial beliefs. Mm-hmm. This is something that, who is I'm Not Your Guru?
Anthony Robbins.
Anthony Robbins talked about it a long time ago. It's like anchoring into positive moments.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, like when you feel good,
right.
then you
well, that's
ball your fist and you say, yeah. Well, that's raising the intensity of a beneficial belief.
It's exactly what we do in the Fastery of EFT tapping. So we tap, we do a round and we let go of the negative, grab the wrist, which is anchoring, and we say peace. And then we say go to a happy time, a peaceful feeling. So that every time we grab your wrist and you say peace, you anchor that feeling.
Yeah.
And then we do it again and do it again. And then at the end, we re-imprint to a positive. What did you want to happen? How do you want to feel? So we always do that at the end. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. You tapped with Lily and she had an amazing response.
Yeah.
Yeah. In just one session.
Hmm.
That's awesome.
I want another.
Can I get tapped tonight?
Yes.
just so everyone out there knows, Mark will tap anything.
At any time.
And we have special technique of tapping with some new moves and some new tapping points. And
I've heard about this.
Yeah.
What's it called?
Yeah. Sexy tapping. Sexy tapping. I think I coined the term.
There's an extra charge for that, but.
Yeah. It's not legal in all states.
We're in international waters again. And then there's no.
Well, we have to go to Nevada, and then it's fine.
Do you barter? But I'm not doing any tantric massage on you.
Ah.
No, but I have to say it's very effective to eliminate limiting beliefs very quickly.
Yeah. So, Nikki had a manifestation event this week where on the schedule was supposed to be later. Was it later today?
It is
today.
I think that was canceled.
No, I think it's on. So Nikki is a tapper also. And
a
so,
new tapper.
Well, you don't have to qualify it.
No.
You're a passionate tapper.
Great.
And Mark's a passionate tapper. And together they were going to give a tapping session. And Nikki was fearful of that.
Mm-hmm.
And so she came in the lukewarm seat. It's not a hot seat. It's a lukewarm seat. And said that, you know, that I have this fear of doing it and it's okay to have the fear. And I just allowed myself to have the fear and not do it.
Mm-hmm.
And Joshua said, you're wrong.
Now get out.
Joshua says, well, think of it this way. Nikki is a fabulous dancer, but the first time you ever danced in a crowd, you had a little fear, and somehow you processed the fear, and you did it anyway. And the next time, you had a little less fear, and the next time, you had a little less fear, and today she can dance in front of anyone at any time without any fear whatsoever.
Mm-hmm.
The first time she taught children, she had a little fear going into teaching the children.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's her passion, right?
Yeah.
Had you let those fears stop you back then you wouldn't be engaged in these passions you have now, right?
Yeah.
So the same is true with this. And how you move through the fear to pursue your passion is you just process that fear. You resolve it somehow.
Mm-hmm.
So Mark was talking about preparing for doing a tapping session in front of a large group because he has fears just as you have fears.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And so he has figured out a way to process those fears by doing some preparation. What'd you do?
Yeah, I did some preparation, but I haven't, you know, it's still like, how much do I wing it? How much should I go back and prepare and write out an outline or should I just wing it? Julie Ryan said, wing it. Just said, wing it. I don't believe in preparation. So that helped me.
I don't believe in preparation either.
Yeah.
And what's crazy.
And you said that too.
Yeah. And what's crazy is that, like, I know this stuff up in my head. Like, I know, like I just have to practice. I know all that.
Yeah.
But like when the fear comes in, all the tools go.
Yeah.
I'm totally blocked from source.
You're free.
And I'm freaking out.
Yeah. But that's the benefit of preparation, Kyla.
What I got from what Joshua's response to the preparation question was basically preparation is a device. You know,
yeah.
It's like
yeah.
a college
yeah.
degree. It's just a way to amp up your beneficial beliefs.
Your
so
confidence.
If you are already feeling confident, if you're
yeah.
already feeling in the flow, then the preparation is less necessary.
Yeah.
But if
yeah.
you are going into something where you know you're, if I'm going into something where I know I'm going to feel fear, preparation
will help me.
It would just be, it's like shaving my legs if I'm going to go on a date. Like,
right.
I'm not doing it for him.
Very
I'm doing it because
important.
I want to feel more confident.
Yeah.
Right.
Sometimes,
yes.
Sometimes not. Sometimes I'm like, this is it, man.
Yeah.
Go for it. But that's when I'm already feeling confident, already feeling the flow, already feeling worthy of time and attention and energy, regardless of whether or not my natural body hair is still where it grew in,
you know?
But when I do have a little bit of fear, when I do just need that extra little boost, that's when the preparation is beneficial.
Well, I got a point on this.
Yeah.
When I was in high school in drama, we rehearsed and rehearsed and rehearsed because the teacher knew that we would have fear and we'd have to know the stuff so well that even when we had fear, it wouldn't block the reception of the words, because somehow they knew that the words were coming from here, right?
Yeah.
And the more we did the play, the less fear there was, and the funnier things became. Mm-hmm. And the more we were allowed to improvise and ad lib, and you know, we would do 12 performances in a day, because there were, or maybe it was 10. So 10 performances back to back to back to back in a day.
Mm, wow.
And because they were an hour long, and so each class would come in, we do it. And by the 10th one, it was the funniest one and the best one, you know. It was all pure, you know, we were, no fear was there.
Yeah.
And there was confidence.
Yeah.
So
total
you could play because there was there wasn't the fear.
Yeah.
But Kylie, you just sparked it an insight to me, because I just received it now, is that I'm learning, I have to learn that I can wing it. And so so I'm going to, you know, wing it. And I'm also learning that if I'm doing it and figuring it out while I'm doing it, it's going to be okay. So it's a way of learning how to accept myself. And I think that's why I'm not preparing as much, because I probably could prepare more and really feel confident and really use that as a device. Or I can just kind of wing it and see what happens and be okay with whatever happens. And I think that's what I need to learn.
And this is the perfect space to do that, to practice winging it when you are in a condition where you are. You know that you're safe.
Absolutely love.
That's what I've been doing, is playing with these things in places where it feels safe and then taking it in situations with my family or
hell
my friends or
whatever. I had always had this preparation that I do before any Joshua Live. And when we do the live podcast, we do it at 2:00 in the afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
What? Is it
true? Yeah, for you.
And so what I do is I meditate with Lily in the morning.
Yeah.
Then I go in and just do, maybe write some of the book or do Joshua Answers all day solid.
Mm-hmm.
By myself. Lily works that day. I'm with the dog. And there's no, you know, no one coming in to do the lawn or housekeepers or anything. Just me. And then I meditate again right before. And then I'm prepared.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And so I did that this as well. So you didn't see me in the daytimes because I was here, just here doing Joshua Answers and meditating.
Getting the vibration up.
Getting the vibration, right? But then today, I didn't have time because it was a morning one, 9:30.
Yeah.
So I did one meditation, one answer, went over there. And was there any difference?
No.
Yeah. If anything, it was even...
Yeah.
Even better.
It
just showed me that I don't really need all that preparation either.
Yeah.
When I first started writing the books as Joshua, I would be alone in a room, lock the door, all the windows were closed. No music, silence, right? No one could interrupt me. Turned off all the phones and just typed, right? Now I can have the music blaring. I can stop talking the phone, go back right where I was, you know. It's amazing.
And what I just saw is that as you practice that, like doing it in the way, excuse me, that worked for you, that just naturally brought you to this point where you can be in an environment like this and be flowing it with people getting up and walking around and taking pictures and coming in and out of the doors and coughing and whispering and doing all the things. And it just kept coming and kept coming and kept coming.
It was like no interruption of focus at all. Whereas in the Joshua Live, sometimes there is, you know. But in this group brought in so much more energy, you know, because they were all in the same room. And I think that a lot of people felt that when they got in the lukewarm seat, is the energy coming off of it. It was fun. I was going to say something else about that too. I've shared this with you, but I have this anxiety that, you know, it's not going to come out, right?
Right.
And
so
when I was thinking to myself, Joshua says, well, do this. Well, go into your deep breathing, close your eyes, and go, I got nothing.
Well,
And so when they said that to me,
yeah,
I laughed. And, you know, it made everything easier.
Yeah. What is the idea of actually, like, if that actually happened, how would that feel?
Yeah.
It would feel devastating, you know? It's so interesting because I'm so attached now after 4 years.
You can't lose it.
I know. Of course not. You can never lose. You can never go backwards. But anyway, it's interesting. If you asked me 4 years ago, would you want this? I would say no. And if you ask me now, what if you lost it? I go, I don't even know what my life would be like.
Yeah.
Just a 4 year difference, you know?
Yeah.
And we get attached to stuff.
Oh, sure.
Like that. That never even came along.
And the more devastated you would feel, the less you would be able to come back into an alignment and do it again and have it come back.
Well, so, you see that happen with people sometimes. Yeah.
So that's also like when I'm giving my, if I'm giving my presentation, I'm winging it, I'm afraid I'm going to lose that connection and forget. Yeah. And if I do and then get back to it to remind myself that, oh, I always have it. It's always available. And it's just how I'm vibing. And I can get it back. So just relax and do it now.
Or if it goes, then I'm a match to something different now.
Oh, yeah.
It's ready for it to go.
Because if that were to happen, I thought about it when you told me about it. And it is, like, I thought it was funny. And then I was thinking about it, like, if that were to actually happen, which it's likely not, you know, in this environment, like we were just talking about, it would be the perfect environment for that to happen.
Yeah.
Surrounded by people who are going to love you regardless, you know, of... whether you're Gary or Joshua or whoever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But back to the whole thing about switching up the time. I think that's huge, Gary. That was a huge thing for you to be like, now you know.
Right.
Yeah.
You don't need the prep. You can do it how you want it, when you want
it. Yeah, so I might try next time we do a Joshua Live just to come in whenever it is.
Yeah.
Kind of like what I'm doing today.
Yeah. Just wing it.
Wing it.
We'll wing it.
Show up.
Yeah. But, you know, I've done the preparation. You've done the preparation.
Yeah.
I'm confident enough.
Yes.
And we could trust the universe.
Yeah, exactly.
Plus, I can always delete the recording.
I trust the universe.
And I can always just run out of the room.
I'll be right back,
last
guys.
Last resort.
Trust the universe.
All right. Nikki said something ridiculous, which is trust the universe.
Like a load of crap.
Who believes that crap?
Yeah.
Yes.
Look at
this universe.
All right. Anything else?
Any comments from our guests today?
Yeah.
Lily,
yes.
Jennifer, Eric.
Yeah, this is Lily's first time ever. Lily had never seen it live.
Oh. Yeah.
Yeah.
How
was
it?
I've never heard of, actually, one of these. I only listened to Joshua Live.
Right. No. What do you think of Joshua Live in person?
Joshua Live. Well, I don't know. It just felt really warm and safe and joyful, and I was on the edge of my seat. I couldn't even sit back. I wanted to absorb every single word.
Yes.
No inspiration to jump in. No inspiration to ask Joshua to be
I feel like... everything gets answered.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
Every moment I'm getting my answers before I can even think of the questions.
Yeah.
It's true. It's true.
Yeah, that's how it is in how I felt in Abraham. You know, Lily and I went to a bunch of Abrahams, and I never asked a question.
Yeah.
I kept putting my hand up and going, oh, well, somebody just answered that.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
But in this group, it's small enough that you know, if you put your hand up, you're getting called on.
That's
so
true.
Yeah, you better be
but
ready.
But it's also like what Lily was saying, like you're saying with Abraham, it's even better when we get our answer without being up there, because when you're up there, you're so nervous about being up there, you don't even hear it.
Yeah.
But from the audience, we really get to hear it.
Yeah.
Well, it took me 3 days to you know, get up there and get in the lukewarm seat.
Yeah.
And it was curious because the second day, I was thinking about a question. I was like, oh, I got a great question. Yes, this is great. So everybody's raising their hand going before me. Julie gets up there and asks my question. She just asked, what am I doing with this body? Did I intend it? And why did it, you know, it come? And why did I, you know, choose this body? Because they always say you choose your body before you come here. And I was like, okay.
That was it.
Thank
and it's so much easier for you to understand it than for Julie to understand, because
she was
know,
in the seat.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, I noticed something when it came to, when you got an opportunity to ask your question, that if you were nervous about asking it earlier, because that's, I kind of experienced that, that the people that asked their questions prior to yours led up to it perfectly.
Yeah. Right.
You look back and realize, okay, now you'd see the moment. You'd see the right moment.
Yeah. It is funny how one question leads to another, and the whole topics of the whole Joshua Live seems to go in this circle answering every question, especially on the podcast.
Yeah.
We'll come out with something in the beginning, and then all the questions seem to lead one to one, and then they finish with basically where they left off in the beginning,
right.
You know?
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. If you didn't know better, you'd think there were like eight plants in the audience.
Yes, that's what it seems like.
You know?
Totally.
Yeah.
Totally.
Yeah.
Seems like, that's right. Okay, well, here's your question asked, typed out.
This question is here. What are the odds?
Yeah.
So it's almost lunchtime.
We're going to go to lunch, and then we're going to go to have... what are we
going to
do?
Tapped.
At
2 o'clock.
Right? We're going to get tapped.
A group tapping. Have you
group
ever tapped
tapping.
A group?
I have, but I don't have a lot.
Of course he has.
I don't have a lot of experience, but I've done it. You know, everyone taps on themselves.
Yeah.
And then sometimes I'm thinking of running around and tapping on every person.
Yeah. like the guy keeps the plate spinning in the air.
Yeah.
You know? And then we're going to... get as many free drinks as we can.
And I'm going to ride with Lily, not Gary, because Gary's going to get as many free drinks as he can.
And then we're going to go to Deborah Jo's and have dinner.
And it smells really good over there.
Oh.
She's been cooking it since yesterday.
Oh, wow.
Good. And then we're going to go back to our lives, change forever from this experience.
Yeah.
Yes.
And be depressed when we get home.
Yeah. So we are going to do another one of these in April, probably in Vegas. And, you know, every time there's one of these, it doubles. So there should be 42 people.
42.
So we'll plan for 42 people then.
Love it.
And then the one after that will be 84. And then no one knows what's after that without a calculator.
Yeah.
168. But after that.
After that, forget it.
Yeah. 336. No, I have no idea. Anyway, the Dolphins are losing, you guys. In England. Yep. So until then, until next week, have a wonderful week. And we hope you guys can figure out a way to feel as good as we are. Because we're feeling good.
Yeah.
Come to the next
cruise.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thank you for joining us on the Teachings of Joshua Roundtable. Remember, you are loved more than you can imagine, by more than you could ever count. We'll see you next week.